The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.' Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of our Lord. Please pray with me. Almighty God, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Open us to the help you send us in others. You see us all and call us all to lift each other up. God, you call us together to make a better world. Remind us we do this work together. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know what my favorite part of this text is? I love the 70, the 70 others, this group, the infamous 70. I love that we aren't told who they are. I love that we aren't told what their qualifications for ministry are. And I love that we're just told that they are 70 others, the 70 others. I mean, we aren't even told if the 12 disciples were a part of this group or not. I like to think that they were not. I like to think that this passage, this commissioning is meant for the others. Those who are absolutely called into ministry, but not in any official capacity because they were born into a priestly family or because they heard the call to ministry and decided to study and become a professional minister. No, just because they heard what Jesus had commanded. This is the mission statement of the people of God who are not called into professional pastoral leadership. You see, I love this passage because it is about all of you. Let's look at Jesus' mission statement. He said to the 70 others, "It is a mission statement of the church, the who and the what for the near and the far, for the us and for the them." And it is all found right here in this section of the Gospel of Luke. We are to start with a greeting of peace, not just any peace, but God's peace, and follow up proclaiming the kingdom of God has come near. And this mission cannot be accomplished by just us, but rather it is Christ's universal mission for everyone together. Imagine right now, if this is all that we did, was follow this mission statement of Jesus. If we were to offer God's peace and proclaim God's kingdom has come near, both in our words and in our actions. What would the world look like if that is what we did? Just imagine. It would transform our world. This mission statement for the first generation of Christ followers is not about reacting to declining numbers or reacting to the youth today or reacting to those other churches, but it is a response. It is a responding to a broken world desperately searching for a different kind of relating to one another. Jesus commands first, share peace. Jesus doesn't say determine if they're already believers or susceptible to that sort of thing. Jesus doesn't say assess them for their worthiness to receive healing or the good news. Jesus doesn't say judge them on their sinful living. No, every time Christ says we are to love and serve our neighbor. Full stop. The world needs to know there's a God that created them. And like our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, regardless of who you are or what you've done, that you are cradled in the arms of God, filled with sustenance and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so God is with you and will comfort you. And there are people out there who've given up on the institution of the church and organized religion. Oftentimes they've left for good reason, often being deeply hurt by those charged with loving them. People like you and me. So we need to reclaim the mission of Jesus that he gave to the 70 others, so that all might feel the comfort and love of God. Jesus is inviting us to enter into the lives of our neighbors, bearing only peace, God's peace. We are to enter without our own baggage, without a purse or a bag or sandals or an agenda or an assessment or a judgment. Jesus is inviting us into a true openness that allows us to experience him working through us and everyone we meet. When I was touring with the Young Americans Music Outreach Group, we would stay with homestay families. That meant for a three-month tour, every three or four nights, we were in a different family's home, eating different foods, learning a different language, and a different culture. It was first in Germany and Japan that I learned how to communicate through a basic understanding of the language and charades. In Scotland, I had the opportunity to try a delicacy, haggis. I'll save the graphic description for those brave enough to ask later, but for the rest of you, it's basically all the parts of an animal that you would rather just throw away and cook together in a stomach or sausage casing. Delicious! Even when our tours were here in the United States, we still found ourselves being welcomed into another space. I was invited into new ways of experiencing a world I thought I had known. And I think this is what Jesus' mission is inviting us into. Like my travels opened a new way of experiencing the world, Jesus' mission invites us into an openness to the other that opens up new ways of experiencing who God is and what God is up to in the world. And when you experience glimpses of who God is and what God is up to in the world through relating out of love and service with your neighbor, then we are to proclaim the second part of Jesus' mission. We are to announce the kingdom of God has come near. It's noticing a reparation between peoples and conflicts. Because we're leading with God's peace and we have left our baggage behind, we are free to love one another as Christ has loved us. That's the responsibility we have to our neighbor. And through it all, we'll be transformed by God's work, and they will be transformed by God's work. And so Jesus says plainly, just notice that and announce it. The kingdom of God has come near. God is at work here. I see God in you. Isn't this exciting? Because of who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us on the cross, because he defeated sin and death forever, our ministry is no longer about measuring up. Our mission is to love, to share the good news, to gather together a rich symphony of traditions and experiences, to share God's peace and proclaim the works of God to everyone we meet. And we're invited into continually being transformed by what we find there. That is what being a pastor is all about, I think. And we live in a world where through the pain and struggles of everyday life, people need a pastor. And I don't mean someone like me. I mean someone like you. They may have convinced themselves that the institution of the church or religion is no longer for them. But the truth we find in Jesus' death and resurrection, in the cross of Christ, the truth, that truth was transformational in my life. And if you're seated here today, it was probably transformational in your life, which means that it's probably still transformational today. The world needs someone to tell them there is a God that loves them, cares for them, went to the cross to defeat death for them. This is the mission of a follower of Christ. This is your call, and it's a really important one. And you've already started. I must confess that with my internship project, the R. Emmanuel Stories wasn't just so that you could share your stories of mission and ministry here in this place. Sure, I had you tell your story so that you could gain confidence in the importance of your story. So that once getting comfortable and learning how to share your story here in this place with people who love and support you and share in that mission, once you gained that confidence, you could go out into the world and share with the whole world. Share Emmanuel this place and to share Emmanuel God with us, with everyone you meet. Each week we meet together. We praise God. We're filled with God's word and stories of our mission and ministry together, and we are filled with the Holy Supper so that we might be strengthened to go out into the world offering peace and announcing the kingdom of God has come near. And who knows? Maybe we'll experience what the 70 others had when they returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." Jesus said to them, "Do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Amen.